Everyone, how many of you got the text message today? All right, you know what direction we're going. I'm excited about it. It's something that really just in the last few days, the Lord's really started dealing. I really thought I would just kind of go right along with our Sunday morning series that we were doing there about being led of the Holy Ghost, but this just kind of came up, and I've been doing my homework, and I'm excited what we're ministering on tonight. So if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Timothy. Chapter 2, we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and as you already know, I'm starting a series of messages just for Wednesday nights, tonight is the beginning of it, called Home, Family, and Private Life. Yeah, praise the Lord. Home, family, and private life. So whether you're married or single, whether you've been married before or not, whether you have children or not, this is going to help everybody. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, where God can use us is when we're faithful in the unseen places, right? When we're faithful to God, when no one else is around. We're going to talk about that. I'll tell you, so many times the reason why people's lives get absolutely destroyed is because there is chaos in the home, chaos in the family, or chaos personally. Whatever it is, we're going to address a lot of these things. Tonight is going to be the introduction. And so as the series goes on, we will get more specific, but we will hear, topics on marriage, no doubt, raising children, personal, organization and things like that, just having life in order. So, because if you are living disorderly where nobody can see, I'll tell you what, that disorder is going to spill out into all areas of life. If you are a chaotic person, that's going to show up in your job. That's going to hinder you. And also, how many of you know God needs an atmosphere in your home if he's going to be able to move into your home and make an impact on your life? So many faith people, so to speak, people that have been taught the word of faith, they'll be believing God, they'll be confessing things, but if their life is out of order, God cannot bless it. If there's not that atmosphere in the home, then you won't qualify for God's blessings. And folks, whenever I teach a series of messages like this, so many times people, they get really convicted, right? And that's a good thing. By no means is anybody going to preach to you and act as if somebody else has it all figured out and somebody just lives the perfect life and everything is always perfectly organized and things like that. No, but we're talking about doing our best for the Lord. We're talking about going to a higher level, amen, so God can move in a greater way in our lives. Amen. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Timothy. And let's go to chapter 2. Amen. And then you could say it this way, prosperity is the ability to keep the home life in order. Prosperity is the ability to keep the home life in order. If your home life is in disorder, you don't qualify for God's prosperity. Now, when we say the word prosperity, people just start thinking about money. But that's not the definition of prosperity, or at very least, that's not the full definition. You've heard me say this many times. Financial prosperity is a biblical form of prosperity. It's in there, all right? But it is the lowest form of biblical prosperity. Why? Because we know this, that there's a lot of people in the world that have a lot of money, but I tell you what, they don't have the power to enjoy it. According to Ecclesiastes 5:19 and 20, you can read that passage. God, that scripture over there says that God can give a man great riches and wealth, but he needs to have the power to enjoy it. All right. And so the world has a lot of money, but they have no joy. So they're not prospering God's way. When God prospers you, it's across the board. All right. Yes, it may and will influence your finances, but it also influences your joy, your peace, your strength. Amen. It blesses your marriage. It blesses your kids. God's definition of prosperity is so much more full than people's definition. People just, prosperity, show me the money. Well, you could have all the money in the world and be a complete mess. Just look at Hollywood, right? Don't look at those magazines that are at the checkout counter, but if you did, you'd find a bunch of rich people whose lives are just a complete mess. Absolutely. What does the Bible say over there? Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. All right, you can prosper God's way, and there's going to be no sorrow with it. But you can prosper the world's way and it will be full of sorrow. All right? And so that's why we say prosperity is the ability to keep the home life in order. All right? And what is happening at home is sometimes hindering people's faith. It's holding back the blessing, and we don't want that to happen. And so just know this as we get started in this series. I'm not here to attack you. I'm not here to, you know, make you walk out of here feeling like life is hopeless. No, just the opposite. I want you to feel like I know what to do. And, hey, let's face it. If we want God to move in a greater way, we got to make some changes, right? Praise the Lord. Here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. Now, often, you know, you hear me quote these verses, especially, verse 1 as we pray for our civic leadership. But let's read it. It says this. It says, I exhort, Paul says this to Timothy. Timothy is a pastor. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And it tells us who he's talking about there in verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, or we could say it this way, those that are in civic authority. All right, so you've heard me quote this verse as we pray for the president, our congressmen and women, our senators, our Supreme Court, state and local governments, right? All right, and we should do that. And that's why we do that in our services, because it says, first of all, pray for those that are in civic authority. And verse 2 tells us why we pray for them, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This verse, verse 2, this is the will of God for every society and home in the earth. All right? This is what God wants for every nation. This is what God wants for every state, for every city, and more importantly, for every home. Remember when Jesus said, you know, if the family is divided, the nation will be divided, and so on. The scripture tells us a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, and a home divided against itself cannot stand. So we understand that the building blocks of society is the home. Amen? And so this is going to be our keynote scripture here for this series of messages, because this is the goal. This is the goal of this set of messages, is for your life to be found right here, quiet, peaceable, in all godliness and honesty. All right? That is the goal for your home, for your marriage, even if you're not married, if you're single, if you've never been married, if you're young, if you're older, it doesn't matter. This is God's desire for your home. Because I'm going to bring out these four qualities. All of them are necessary if God's going to move in your home. Do you see the four things that I'm talking about? Quiet, peaceable, godliness, and honesty. Those four elements must be in your home if God is going to move there. All right, here we go. All right, well, let's start with these four. Again, this is just kind of the introduction to this series. This is our goal for this set of messages. This is the goal for our home, which will then spill into every avenue of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, four things that should describe your home life or your private life, your married life, or however you want to call it, all right, whether you're married or not. This is how God wants you to be at home in your private life. Number one, quiet. The word quiet should describe your house. Boy, I tell you what, it's quiet in here right now. Quiet. That means without excess noises or voices. Oh my goodness. What a message for our day and times that we live in, because our lives are filled and surrounded by voices nonstop. All right. I mean, there's TV voices, there's computer voices, there's social media voices, there's radio and music voices and media and movie voices and all these things that are going on. But God says your home should be a quiet place. All right. Why? Because if it's not quiet, it will destroy the peace. oh, here we go. We are going to get into things. All right. I don't know as if I gave you enough warning yet before we started this series of messages. Folks, I'm going to say things that might seem like bombshells on you. Again, it's not to attack anything. Listen, it's to get a greater move of God's glory in your house. All right. And so your house should be without excess noise and without excess voices all the time. All right. Somebody turn off the TV. Now, does that mean you can never enjoy something? We don't have cable or satellite or anything. That doesn't mean there isn't other ways, you know, to have appropriate entertainment or whatever. Believe me. But remember, those things are like a piece of pie. But our society has turned them into a full course meal. All right, do you know what I mean by a piece of pie? You know, you could have it once in a while, but you sure can't live on it as much as we wish we could. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's all going to change. You're going to get to live on whatever it is that you want to live on up there. Praise the Lord. But until that day, you know, you can't live on pie. Well, you can't live on TV. You know, what is the number one? If you've been reading Pastor Nancy's book there, A Sound Disciplined Mind, you know, she talks about in that first long chapter there about the greatest weapon that Satan has is the power of suggestion. The power of suggestion. Where do so many people get these suggestions? TV. Where do they get the suggestion that they're just not happy with their spouse anymore? I don't like the way my spouse looks anymore. They should look like that, you know. Or, you know, through excess movies or things, they get suggestions. Social media is just one big suggestion cesspool. I know you hear me rail against it all the time. And you must just think I'm a hypocrite because I do have a Facebook page. Well, yes, I do. I use it for church purposes. Actually, I hardly use it at all, to be honest. If you see me on there, most likely it's because the church account is run through my name. And so a lot of times that's somebody else. that's Bobby. You know, somebody on staff is probably doing that, all right? And of course, you can use those things for good things. I'm not saying it's wrong to share your pictures with friends and family and tell them nice encouraging words, but so many people cannot keep it contained to those things. They got to go, oh, let's see what someone's page is. Let's see how they've aged. I went to school with them. Oh, my goodness, look how fat they got her. Look. Don't laugh at me like I'm not saying I do that. You don't think people don't do that? You don't think people go surfing for high school friends and people they knew were old romantic flames? They go looking for, see how they turned out? Come on now. You know, absolutely. I had someone from high school that I dated. This was a few years back. I was on there on Facebook doing something for the church. All of a sudden, bloop, some message comes up. It was this girl that I dated in high school, you know, and all in one message is, hey, I found you. I haven't heard from you. I haven't seen you, this and that. And all this, how are you doing? Are you still married? Do you have kids? Yada, yada. If so, can I see pictures, all this and that? And my wife was sitting out in the living room. I said, Katie, come on in here. She comes in, I said, I just want you to see this. I was here doing work from the church. Here it is, you know. And, of course, with my wife there, we responded back, oh, thanks for the shout out. Have a good life. That was literally like what we said. As evident as it was that she was, you know, probing, you know, we made it very clear, see you later. Hit the road, right? Because there's so many suggestions, there's so many things, you know, in what I call InstaFace. You know, you know, just think about it. I know, here we go again. You've heard these things. I just can't help but rail on it. Think about what Facebook is. It's look at my face. I just really, I don't want anyone looking at, you know, you know, my face. I don't want anybody, you know, looking at me and what I'm doing on the computer and, you know what I mean, and trying to, you know, bolster myself and stuff. That's just weird. That's just weird. You know, hey, look at my deep philosophical statement. Give me enough likes. Anyway, I read this really lame study how it talked about what is the feel-good enzyme in your brain? What is that? Serotonin? Is that it? Serotonin. They said that literally there is a proven clinical connection to the release of serotonin in your body with as many likes as you get on Facebook. See what that is? That's getting addicted to a good feeling. Isn't that exactly what we talk about all the time? People like the way it makes them feel. You know what? I tell you what, God can make you feel a whole lot better. I dare you, save up the amount of hours that you spend on social media for a week and say, okay, in the next following week, I'm going to equal that with my time praying and reading my Bible. You will feel a whole lot better. But we're talking about quiet should describe your home life. That means without yelling, without fighting. A home that is strifing all the time, yelling and arguing, is not a quiet home. A yelling home, you know what I mean by that? A home that's filled with arguments and things like that will not be an environment where God can move. Quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, right? Mom and dad's fighting, shouting at each other. I tell you what, you might as well just be kicking God out of your house. An invitation to fight with your spouse is an invitation to remove God's blessing. Just remember it. Here's another one. Now I'm going to make you mad. Oh my goodness. Kids shouting. Shouting kids in a home destroys the peace of God in a home. Now, when I say that, let's qualify the statement. Of course, there's times that, you know, kids get loud and things like that. That doesn't mean you break out the paddle every single time they got a little noisy. But I'll tell you what, my boys know in my house, we have inside voices and we have outside voices. When they're inside, we are not running through the house. We are not shouting and yelling like we would on the playground or something like that. And when they do, and if they do, I do discipline them. No, that might not be a spanking violation, at least the first time I warn them, okay? But I do not allow my kids to shout or yell or be loud in my house. I told you I was going to make someone mad. Because we live in kids are out of control in our society. People can't take their kids to a restaurant. They can't take their kids to a social gathering without them just going a full-blown chaos. Listen, parents, that's your fault. That's your fault. Oh, man. Boom, bombshell. Oh, pastor's mad at us. He's saying we're bad parents. No, I did not say that. I'm saying that this stuff needs to be taught to safeguard the quiet and the peace in your home. That doesn't mean your kids have to be on edge around you. My boys are not on edge around me or anything like that. They're just tiptoeing or anything. We have a normal home, depending on what your definition of normal is, you know. But I'm just talking about they can't just burst out, shriek, and yell. No. They do that, they're going to find themselves in their bedroom sitting by themselves for an hour. That's right. Right, boys? Today's Michael's birthday, everybody, by the way. Yeah, happy birthday, Michael. And so, you know, we just don't allow kids to get out of control. And I know it's tough when you're in a group of parents and you know, you don't want to be the bad cop and stuff like that. I'm not talking about someone else's kids. Listen, do not correct someone else's kids. Don't do that. You're liable, you know, you get your hand bit off, right? I don't like when people, you know, correct my kids. I do when they're in a place of authority in their life. If they're at school and they're messing up, I want their teacher to get after them, right? I want an administration. I want someone to get after them. If they're in my family, if it's my parents or my wife's parents or, you know, whoever, if they're doing something wrong, Get after their case. I will never, ever begrudge somebody, you know, for properly disciplining my kids if they have that open door into my family, right? Amen. You know, but I'm talking about, you just don't, you know, see some kid that you know and start correcting them, obviously. We know that. But I'll tell you what, folks, make sure. The Bible, we're going to see this verse here in just a moment. The Bible expects us to keep our children in all gravity, the Bible says. That means seriousness. Now that doesn't mean you take the joy and the laughter out of it. We're not talking about, being the old mean nun or something with with the ruler stick or something, the yardstick, waiting to hit a kid for the moment he says a word or something. I'm not talking about that. But don't allow that shrieking, yelling. It'll destroy the quiet in your home. Kids running through the house. You know, kids blaring music. No. Listen, of course, my kids aren't really at that age, but it won't matter. There's not going to be secular music playing in my house. It's not like my kids are going to have a stereo system in their room and they're going to be jamming out on whatever kids jam out to these days. I have no idea. I almost said like Justin Bieber or anything, but I just know I've heard the name. I don't even know who is even out there anymore. You know, and by the way, country music is just as garbage as the rest of it. There was a day when country music was about driving in the back roads with your pickup truck and having a good time. You know, I think those days are gone. Those days are gone, at least any time I've ever heard it or whatever. So quiet in your home. Not trying to be a dictator, not being, you know, overly aggressive, but you are not. Listen, that quiet in your home should be precious to you. It should be something that you defend and you protect it. That, you know, we have a playroom down in the basement. That's fine. Kids play. You know, I go down there. There's times we play little basketball games or wrestle around. That's fine. But the rest of the house, it is quiet. You come into my home, you're not hearing just the TV just on beeping suggestions into my home 24 hours a day. Anyway, praise the Lord. The second thing, notice, quiet and peaceable. That word peaceable means at peace or without disruption. It also means that you are in agreement with one another in your home. Your home is being raised in agreement. Praise the Lord. That means not opposing ambitions, not fighting each other all the time, okay? But we're talking, a home that agrees, you know, on the things of the Lord. You know, we're talking about a home that is agreeable, peaceable. All right. Amen. That means that there's not someone else's ambitions, you know, fighting each other all the time. I see it as a pastor. You know, the husband wants one way and the wife wants another, or they have their own selfish ambitions and they compete against one another. You know, they want to get involved in this. The other one knows that it's not right. And there's all this competing. There's all this jockeying for authority in the house. I'll tell you what, that is destroying God's ability to move in your home. I'll tell you, moms and dads, it is your job to sit down like mature adults, get in agreement for the direction of the family. And you're not there just to have it your way. You're there to sacrifice. You're there to give to one another, all right? There's got to be some a reasonable nature within your home. Amen. Listen, parents, your kids won't be able to do every activity in this life. You need to know and understand that. Because that running all the time is not peaceable. Oh, praise the Lord. All right? We're talking peaceable means orderly. You know, there's something about order and cleanliness that brings the peace of God. What do you think heaven is like? How messy and dirty do you think heaven is? You know, does it ever get, You know, and of course, you know, we're human beings. We understand that, you know, in life the house can get out of order at times. You know, you pick it back up, you clean things up. But if you're living constantly in habitual filth and dirtiness, God says no. I tell you, people are going to think I'm a religious maniac by preaching this. But so many people, I'm believing God for my healing. I'm believing God for a new job. I'm believing God for my finances. I'm believing God for my marriage. I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for my business and all this and that. But they keep their home like a pigsty, and God says no. God looks at filthiness. If you don't believe me, should we go look at that? I wasn't planning on it, but I don't think you're mad enough yet. So go back to Proverbs. Say, Pastor, this is just legalistic and this is religious and mean. No, it's not. No, it's not. Where is that? Is that Proverbs 24? Is that Proverbs 24 in verse 30? Proverbs 24 and verse 30, I was not planning on going here. Say, oh my goodness, I don't know if I'm going to be able to abide this series of messages. You're going to make it. You're going to survive. All right? Listen, because I want you to be successful in your home. Amen. A quiet home. A peaceable home. God wants to live there. But if you're living in filth, dirtiness, you know, if you allow your kids just to trash your home, you're being a lousy parent. All right. I think I'm going to be resigning tomorrow. I'm looking for a new job. Because people hear this. Listen, no, I'm serious. And our society needs to hear it. And someone needs to be bold enough. If you're letting these kids be dishonorable loudmouths who are destroying the cleanliness and the sanctity of your home, you are a bad parent. Where did I tell you to go? Proverbs. See, I need one of those trap doors right here. It would just lower me down, and I would wave, and I'd go and hide. It's true. No, I'm not talking about, you know, being Mary Poppins or something. You know what I mean? I didn't see the new one. I grew up on the old one. I grew up on Chim Chimini Chiroo, right? Was that the right one? Yeah, that was the right one. You know, and I know she was really cool and clean and everything. Well, good. You don't have to, you know, we're not talking about living so much in the extremes where you're no longer human anymore. All right, but we're talking about doing a good job for God and for your family. Amen. Look at this, Proverbs 24 and verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And so he's talking about, this is someone who doesn't get it. It says, this man does not understand. This man is lazy. And I went by his house in his vineyard. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. So do you see the picture that God is drawing for us here? He went by someone's house and by their vineyard, and it was broken down. They allowed the thorns and everything to grow over it. You could just say it this way. Their house and their vineyard or their business was a mess. It was cluttered. It was messy. It was not well cared for. All right. Yeah. So many times people, they get that way because they're not doing step one, and that's living a quiet life. You're running all the time. You're not going to have time to keep your house in order. Anyhow. Lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Nettles had covered the face of it. The stone wall thereof was broken down. Look at verse 32. He says, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Isn't that interesting? You can look at someone's dirty house and get a sermon. That man's home and business preached instruction to the ones that saw it. It was instructions of what not to do. The instruction was, God don't live there. God has less influence there. But I tell you, you're getting quiet here. People, you know, listen, we had it, just a couple months ago, we had someone stand up in our Sunday school class and call me judgmental. and things. I'm not doing this or saying this to be judgmental to anybody. I'm saying this to help you. You know, because God loves cleanliness. So many times, if people would just do the natural things well, God would move in and he would impact your life in a greater way. All right? And so now he says, I saw this man's dirty home. I saw how he didn't take care of anything. I tell my boys all the time, I said, if you want God to give you something better, take care of what you have now. If you want a nicer car one day, what are you doing with the car you're doing now? I mean, are you taking care of it? Are you getting its oil changes? Or, you know, do you ever vacuum it out or give it a wash? Or, you know, if someone gets in, do they have to move the McDonald's bags out of the way? You ever been in a vehicle like that? God says, no, that's not going to help you. It's going to hurt you. All right. So let's go back over to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Why did I include cleanliness into the peace of God? Because I'll tell you what, when you are in a place that's clean, you can feel the peace of God rush over you. Have you ever been in a place like that? You ever been into maybe it's a nice hotel? I tell you, I'm not a golfer, but man, sometimes you go on these golf courses that are so pristine and so well cared for, there's just peace there. You know, or you've taken time to really make your house excellent and you just feel the peace of God rush into that. You know, I'll tell you what, it's important to create that atmosphere in your home. All right, number three. So not only quiet and peaceable, but notice that we're supposed to live in all godliness. Three, godliness. All right, that's an understanding in your home that God is first in all that you do. That will be the job of the parents. I sit my boys down all the time and say, just remember, we are a Jesus-first family. It does not matter what else there is going on. When it's time to be in the house of the Lord, we are a Jesus-first family. Boy, I'll tell you, it sure is quiet in here. Jesus-first family. And that's explained. We sit down and we think, anything that you have good in your life, it's because, you know, I say this to the boys, if you have anything good in your life, that's only because mom and dad served the Lord. That's only because God has blessed us. Any good thing that we have is from him. Amen. And your kids will need to hear that. Listen, there is no sport, there is no activity, there is no anything that should ever come before the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are going to have to sit down with your kids and say, we are Jesus first. And there's times when you will not be in that baseball game. There's times when you will not be in that activity because we're going to be in the house of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, if you raise kids like that, they'll love it. They'll love it. They'll absolutely love it. It wasn't last Wednesday because we weren't here. There was Tuesday when Reverend Greer was here. Our boys had a baseball game. They didn't even think twice. Not once did my boys say, oh, you know, we're going to church, not going to play in the baseball game. Actually, just the opposite. I didn't even say one thing to them. They said, it's not even a second thought. They show up and they you know, serve on the cleaning team and they're like, we're not going to our baseball game. Yeah. Sorry. Church is open. Here we are. You say, well, pastor, you're the pastor family. No. I'm not raising my kids as pastor's kids. I'm raising them as Christians. Well, glory to God. Godliness and understanding in your home that God is first. We are a Jesus-first home. And that's explained, and we just say that's what our family lives for. That's what we live for. You better start telling your kids that the moment they can understand you. As soon as they're old enough to understand the English language, you should be telling them all the time on a weekly basis, we're a church family. We're a church family. We're a Jesus family. There's nothing ever. I've told my boys, you could end up being, and I don't think they are, no offense, boys, but they're, you know, they could be Babe Ruth, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky rolled into one. I don't care. I would not and will not ever let my kids pursue professional sports. That is absolutely right. You can bank on it. Not saying that they have that talent. Hey, something could happen later and maybe they're good. I'm not saying it. My boys are like, Dad's up there telling us, everybody, whatever. You're excellent baseball players. They've been asked, both of them, to be on all-star teams this year, but sorry, we're a church family. Church family. Church family. And I'm sure the coaches get upset. I don't care. They're good guys, but I'm not in it for baseball. And I played baseball, but I'm not trying to live vicariously through my kids. Here we go. I told you I was going to make you mad. Glory to God. It's hot under the lights tonight. Woo. Man, I better be careful or else the makeup on my forehead's going to melt off. I confess, I am wearing a little bit of it tonight. I don't know if it's Estee Lauder or whatever I'm wearing, but it's doing a good job. I don't know if it can handle the heat up here. Getting pretty hot, all right? Here's the fourth thing. Do you see it in this verse? Honesty. We are to lead a quiet, peaceable, godly, and honest life at home. All right? What does honesty mean in the home? That means transparent without hiding any truth from your spouse. There's nothing hidden from your spouse. All right? Your spouse. I'm not talking about boyfriends. I'm not talking about girlfriends. I'm talking about who you're married to. All right? And if, we're going to talk about that. If you're pursuing a relationship and they're not honest with you, there's your answer. Transparency in a relationship. Transparency in the home without hiding truth from one another. Nobody in the marriage should have a secret life. There is no such thing as a secret life. There's no such thing as secret money. There's no such thing as secret anything when you are married. Oh, come on now. Transparent without hiding truth from one another. No one has a secret life in the home. You know what? Your kids don't have a secret life. Here we go. Oh, I see how society wants to raise kids. And you know what they're raising them for? If they're not careful, they're raising these kids with a one-way ticket to hell. Because these kids don't have any accountability. There's this idea today that you should give kids privacy in your house. You think my kids are ever going to have a privacy that I, if they're living in my home, cannot walk in at any given time and see what I want to see? I'm telling you, if you believe in that stuff, you are so hoodwinked. You think that, and here's another thing. Remember, if you haven't heard this stuff already on the Raising Kids CD series, but if you haven't heard this before, I'll catch you up. If you trust your child, you're foolish. You are foolish if you trust them. Oh, I trust them to pick what music is good for them. You do? I trust them what they're doing behind closed doors. I trust them. You're a fool. Because the nature of every child is to preserve themselves. The nature of every child, the Bible, what is that over there? Proverbs, is it 19:15 or 15:19? You can look it up yourself. It says that foolishness is bound in the heart of every child. Why would you allow foolishness to go unchecked? And let's read the rest of that verse. It says, and the rod of correction drives it far from them. That's a whole other topic. Boy, people think I'm just, a real lunatic for believing that you should spank your kids. God's way. A lot of what was considered spanking in society has not been done God's way. Because God's way is not angry. God's way is not frustrated. God's way is limited, all right? And it's been a while because really, if you'll spank your kids, it works its way out of a job. You don't spank with your bare hands either, by the way. You know, your hands are there for blessing of God, right? For the laying out of hands, for, care and nurture and so on. But when my boys have had to been paddled or whatever, it's very limited. First of all, I'm completely calm. First of all, we talk about why they are getting the spanking. And then I say, you know, this is what you did wrong. Do you see that? Yes, Dad, you know, we see that. And all right, I'm going to give you 2 swats for that. I don't just go until they cry. It's limited. It's discussed beforehand. And in my home, you know, a child can never receive more than 4 swats because it's got to be limited. It's not a beating that they're getting. They're getting spanked, disciplined. And then I say, do you want to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you? And we do that. And I'll tell you what, I've noticed as the boys have gotten older, they've needed spanks less and less. That's right. Praise the Lord. You better keep those kids honest. You better hold them accountable. You don't have a hidden life. Your kids do not get a hidden life from you at home. You say, you know, well, Pastor, that just seems like my kids aren't going to like me. Well, that's your problem. You're so scared that your kids won't like you. But if you'll parent correctly, if you will measure out love and fun in the home and relationship, they'll be able to handle the discipline. See, because when I talk about this, what you don't see is the other side of it. You don't see, you know, me out hiking with my boys. You don't see us at the creek catching crayfish. You don't see us playing baseball in the yard. You don't see us swimming in the pool. You don't see us, you know, camping and these things. You know, if you have a great relationship with your children, if you talk to them, if you're blessing them and you know, you're generous to them and you reward them, when it's time for discipline, they'll be able to receive it. You know, I told my classroom when I was a school teacher, I said, listen, kids, I got good news and I got bad news. You know, the bad news is you're going to work a lot harder than any other class in this entire school. I'll guarantee it. But the good news is you will be on that playground more than any other class in the school. And my class just really received that well. I said, listen, when our work's done, when you've shown that you've given your best, the rewards will come. And I had teachers even that would come out to me and say, hey, Mr. Stallman, on the playground again, huh? Yep, here we are on the playground again. I said, but these kids are working hard. They deserve this. I told them, I gave them my word that I would reward them if they'd give their best. And you know what? And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here or anything, but when it came time for the state exams, when I was a fourth grade teacher, my kids had the highest grades in the school. All right, and it was by the grace and the glory of God. But kids need, they respond well to seeing that there's rewards in life. All right, when I sit down with my kids, when they need a spanking and they get disciplined, I said, see, boys, I love you. You know why so many young people end up in jail? They end up in prison because they had parents that wouldn't do this. And I've had parents say, Pastor, I just love my kids too much. I cannot spank them. You're lying. You love you too much. You don't want the soul hurt that comes when you have to discipline a child. It is no fun. Nobody enjoys it. But it needs to be done because your kids need to be held to accountability and honesty. All right? Why? Because lying disrupts a home. When a child learns that lying is okay, they're going to have to sin again to cover that first lie. Lying will perpetuate a constant vicious cycle of sin. I tell you what, I've told my boys, and they could answer this right now. We won't make them answer it publicly. But I tell them, what are you going to get punished the most harshly for in our home? It's for lying. You do not want to be found lying to me if I'm your dad, which my boys, they can attest to that. You know, why? Because you have to correct that out of a child now. If they grow up to tell lies, they could be doomed. You do not trust your kid and just allow them to live this unaccountable life. And if they got a problem with it, it's because you didn't raise them right. If your child became a teenager and all of a sudden you're starting to implement this, and they're like, no, Mom, no, Dad, you can't do that. No, no, you can't. Get out of my life. You're not. If they've gotten to that point, you raised them wrong. And now you better correct it while you have a chance. That's scripture. What is that verse? Chasing your son while there is still hope, and let your soul spare not for his crying. They're not going to like it, and that doesn't mean they're going to like you. every moment of your life. See, we have parents today that are trying to be friends with their kids. And they say, well, Pastor, you know, seems like you and your boys are friends. That'll come later. I mean, we love being together, aren't we? I mean, I think they would both just agree. We just love to be together every chance we get. We do it. I mean, that's the whole thing with us. We love to do things together. But I tell you what, there must be accountability. And if your child is, you know, no, Dad, Mom, you can't look at that. You can't see that. You can't do that. Yes, you can. And you better. Oh, man, I wish we were all having as much fun as I am here tonight. Praise the Lord. So these four qualifications must be in God, must be in place for God's presence to dwell in your home. Quiet, peaceable, godliness, and honesty. That's why our society is more godless now than it has ever been before. We are less quiet than we've ever been before. We are less peaceable in our society than ever before. We are less godly and we are less honest than ever before. And God is backing away His hand from our nation. All right? We need more quiet, peaceable, godly, honest homes. Amen. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You're just there in chapter 2. Go over to chapter 3. Go down to verses 4 and 5. Again, this is just the introduction. Praise the Lord. Quiet, peaceable, godliness, and honesty. Does that describe your home? It needs to. It needs to. And you and your spouse need to sit down and discover where those things aren't in place and get it fixed. Get it taken care of. Make adjustments. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's trying to help you. Praise the Lord. Let's do things His way. Amen. Glory to God. All right. 1 Timothy 3, verses 4 and 5. Let's start in verse 4. Now, we really should probably start in verse 1, but for the sake of time, it's talking about the qualifications for a minister. Now, why would God reveal to us the qualifications of a pastor? Because it begins with the pastor, but that's not it, right? That's to be an example for everybody. Okay, it's not that the pastor only has to live this way. He has to make sure that his pastors are living this way so that they will be an example to the people so that the people will live this way. And so he says this to pastors. Now, of course, up there in verse 1, it says, if anyone desires the office of bishop or pastor, they're the same word, he desires a good thing, right? And now verse 4 says, you know, the qualifications. It says, he must be a pastor, must be one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Whoa! Our society sure doesn't like those words when it comes to raising kids. That says in subjection, that means that your kids are submissive to leadership. Are you raising your kids to be submissive to leadership? Your kids do not, they are not permitted to speak back to you in a dishonorable way. Of course, they're kids and they're going to test that boundary. You better make sure that you have more authority in the home than they do. Oh, one that rules well his own house, having his children in submission to authority with all gravity. That means your child, that word gravity means seriousness. Means that they take leadership and authority serious. Now, could I stand up here and claim that my kids have always been perfect at this? Of course not. No one's children have been perfect with authority. You know, there's times when my boys have said things at school, done things. Of course, they've challenged me and my wife, but you just better be up to the challenge. Praise the Lord, all right? But we're constantly, you know, drilling that. And of course, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be a long road with that. It's going to take a lot of training to make sure. You know, the reason why, I tell them. I've showed my boys some examples, you know, in society of people, young people, teenagers. I read them stories of teenagers who would not submit to the authority of the police officers and sat there and resisted and talked back. And there was this one case where it escalated to the point where this young man, 17 or 18 year old boy, out in mom and dad's car, screwing around in the car. You know, officer pulled him over. The officer, you know, of course, is wearing the video camera, and so all of it was recorded, and the officer was very nice and very polite and said, hey, I just check in your license and registration. You're goofing around in the car. You know, I'm going to pull you over. Hey, I'm, you know, and the kid just started mouthing off. He said, well, hey, you know, this officer's just trying to de-escalate the situation. Hey, you know, hold on here. I'm for you. I'm not against you. All this stuff. You know, and finally he got to a point where the officer said, get out of the car. You have to get out of the car. Well, when he did, that young man decided that he was going to have a fight with that police officer. And he reached for that officer's weapon. And now that young man got shot down dead. See, why? Because I'm sitting there, and of course I did not show my sons that part. But I showed them the video where that kid is just, no, why do I have to do that? No, why do you? I said, see that right there? That young man is the result of bad parents. Or he could have good parents, and he just is having himself a little tantrum or whatever. But he would refuse to submit to authority. You say, well, Pastor, you mean that officer did the right thing? Listen, officers are trained when someone tries to take your life. Listen, if I can't, this society today acts like police officers are all bad. But every single one that complains about them, if they were in a bad spot, guess what? The first person they're going to call is a police officer. Thank God for good ones. And listen, just because there's a few bad apples every once in a while, we are overwhelmingly blessed to have law enforcement in our nation. All right? And if you try to fight or to grab a weapon and use against a police officer, you're going to get shot. They have a home and they have a family. They're not going to lay their lives, you know, let someone take their life because, you know, over an incident like that. And so I've showed, I'm like, look at, you see that lack of authority, that ability that where kids think that they can talk back. That starts in the home. Oh, man, I told you I'd make you mad. Folks, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you're getting what you want, but we're getting what we need. No, that was unfortunate. No, and let me make sure to reiterate, that officer did everything he could. He tried the non-lethal. They came to find out that kid, I think, was on some kind of drug. I don't know if it was some kind of upper or whatever. But he did everything he possibly could to preserve that kid's life. And then when it came to a point when it was his life or that young man's, he had no choice. He had no choice. And if you think that's just a political situation, it's not. And if you think I'm preaching my politics, I'm not. But I saw that lack of authority, that lack of respect for authority. That begins in a home. That begins in the home. That needs to be paddled out of our kids. Hold your breath. White knuckle ride tonight. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's not easy to be the one to have to say these things. But it will save your kid's life. It will point them in the direction of heaven. Because heaven demands submission to authority. Now, if God is going to use somebody to pastor his church, a pastor must raise his kids with this level of truth. Verse 5, look what it says. It says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? All right, so God requires this for pastors, but why does he require this for pastors? So it will be an example for all of us. Notice this. Here's just the basic truth we get out of verse 5. God is watching how you order your home. He's watching how you raise your kids. He's watching the respective authority that is in your home. He's watching, of course, see, all this seems to be the disciplinary side. He's watching how you love your kids. He's watching that you take time and play with your kids. You take time and buy something nice for your kids just out of the blue once in a while and just show them that you love them. Take them to do fun things. Show them the world. I mean, take them camping, hiking. Get them out and away from these dumb video games. You know, take them out and show them something real, right? Take them to the beach. Let them play in the ocean. I mean, have a good life. Let them know that, man, mom and dad are for me. They love me. They do all these things with me. And the only reason they would ever come down hard on me is because I needed it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is watching. Notice that somebody to be used in the house of God, God qualifies them by how they are in the home. Do you see that? Do you see that? Notice somebody could be completely disqualified. Notice when God says in this passage, he says, if you want to be a pastor, you know, notice he doesn't say, hey, look at his church. If you want to find out what kind of pastor he is, it doesn't say look at his church. It says look at his kids. It says look at his home. Look at his marriage. See, the private life is where you qualify for God's blessings. We can all show up here a couple times a week for a few hours, put on the smile and be faithful Christians. But the real you is at home behind closed doors. What you're doing in your private life, how you're raising your kids, how you're loving your kids, how you're disciplining your kids, how you're speaking to your spouse. Amen. Praise the Lord. These are the qualifications for a minister. He has to have his home in order. Like I said, it didn't say look at his church. It said look at his home, look at his children. Because ministry is qualified at home with the family and the private life. All right? He knows this. If marriage isn't right, ministry won't be right. What is God saying to pastors here? He's saying if whatever is taking place in your marriage is going to spill into the church. You know why we have one reason, not the reason, one reason why we have a drama-free zone here at Family Church is because my marriage is a drama-free zone. It absolutely is true. You know, my wife and I, we don't fight. We don't. And some people, I've had people get a hold of me and say, you know, you really need to stop saying that. I've had people tell me, stop saying that. No, the scripture says that I'm to be an example to you. My wife is to be an example to you. You know, we don't fight. Have we ever disagreed? Yes. Have we ever screamed and yelled and tore at each other? No. We will be married for 16 years next month. That has never happened. We have never shouted at each other and said, I'm done with you or whatever. I'm not saying that to be proud of us. I'm saying that it's possible to have heaven on earth in your marriage. Amen. Amen. Why? Because God can't use you until you have your home in order. See, whatever's in your, whatever, if there's chaos or drama in your home, it's going to feed into your job. That doesn't just happen for just ministers. See, a lot of places, a lot of people are struggling financially because the drama and the chaos in their home is being carried into the workplace. Boy, sure is quiet in here. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Mike Anderson, he and his church in Olean, they purchased a former Presbyterian church. And now I asked him, I said, when you get to preaching real good and and you bring a real convicting point and your people aren't amening, I say, do you actually say it sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church? That's a saying. Sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church. I said, now you can say it for real. You can say it for real. If a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If a man has drama in his marriage and his home, and his marriage and his home is chaos, that's going to get into the church. Why would it be different from the layman? Why would it be different from the church members? If there's chaos and drama, I'll tell you what, it's going to make you less likely to get promoted in your workplace. Oh my goodness, here we go, boom. I'll tell you what, you know, of course we have a small staff and that's on purpose, you know, here at the church. You know, we don't believe that, you know, you have to go out and hire 50 people as a church. There's churches that do that, that's fine. But we always just want to keep people busy, right? You know, we should have, you know, everyone should have plenty to do. But one of the things I would look for is what's their home life like? What's their private life like? There's people that have great abilities, but their home life don't qualify. Oh, ouch, 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 ouch. Some of these things are hard to hear, but it'll save your life. I'll tell you what, you want stability and joy and the power of God in your home and heaven on earth and, you know, to prosper God's way. You got to have these things. You know, praise the Lord. If marriage isn't right, it's going to get into your ministry, or if it's going to get into your job or your workplace. Amen. God doesn't want his house being dragged down by what's happening at home. This is the same for anyone. It'll kill a business. It'll kill your job. All of a sudden, you're showing up late. All of a sudden, you're on your phone the whole day trying to, you know, figure things out at home, or you're fighting with your spouse via text or email and all that stuff. That starts to show up in your workplace. Your boss is going to pick up on that. And when they pick up on that, they're going to be done with you. They hired you, not your drama. You know what I mean? They hired your skills, not your chaos. I'm telling you, this will help and bless your life. God is looking at the home. He's making judgments about what we do there. He's trying to get blessings into our home, but the atmosphere has to be right. Has to be right. It's got to be quiet. It's got to be peaceable. It's got to be godly. And it's got to be honest. Amen. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Here we go. We're going to wrap it up right here. That's what we have next week for. This will bless your life. See, I have to keep saying that because I know the devil's going to come and try to feed your mind and try to tell you that I'm headhunting for somebody. No, I'm not. I love you. That is why I tell you the truth. I've always believed from day one at this church. I've always believed in transparency. I've always believed in honesty and boldness. Just say it the way it is. You'll notice, of course, we're in another political campaign season again, and it's really interesting to see how some of these fresh young candidates are handling themselves. And you know what they're doing? They're just displaying weakness all the time because they are so scared to say something that'll upset some constituent group. You know, oh, I got to say this. I know one group over here would like it, but this group wouldn't like it. The women will like it, but the minority won't like it, and this will like, you know. And so they're always walking on eggshells. No one will ever become president like that. People just want to hear truth. They want it to be bold. Even if they don't disagree, at least we can commend somebody for being honest and being themselves. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Here we go. And let's go to verse 32. Here's some very interesting things. Now we're going to start getting into, of course, towards the end of our message here tonight. We're going to start talking about why sometimes you feel in your home, or why you feel so distracted in life at times, or you feel like your life gets disrupted or in upheaval. Let's go and take a look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 32. This is some very interesting scriptures. 1 Corinthians 7, 32. Now, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church because they wrote him a letter asking him a lot of questions. And the questions they asked were about marriage. They were about a whole bunch of different things. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7 has so much to say concerning marriage, divorce, remarriage, relationships at home, all of this stuff. Are you ready? All right. Verse 32, Paul says, "But I would have you without carefulness." That means I don't want you to live a life of anxiety. All right? He says, "He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord." This is interesting. So he's talking about unmarried people. And he seems to speak very positively of unmarried people. In verse 33, he says, "But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife." Well, I can't deny that that's not true, right? That is right. We certainly do care about pleasing our wives. The wife ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. We have Dr. Dufresne. I can hear his voice right now. Happy wife, happy life. Amen. So that's true. But notice it almost seems to have a little bit of a negative shade on it. He that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he pleases his wife. Verse 34. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. Well, the word virgin there means a young, unmarried woman. It's not what you were thinking, though that is included. Okay? And so it's talking about a married woman versus an unmarried young woman. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord. Boy, they're those unmarried people. They got it going on. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that's married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Those carnal, lowly, married women. I'm going to explain this here in a minute. In verse 35, he says, "And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely or appropriate, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction." Everyone say, without distraction. All right. What is this passage of verses? What is it talking about? It is talking about the facts. Simply the facts of married life. Not just the facts of life, like our wonderful 80s television program that we all watched. Right? With Blair, Natalie, Joe, and Tootie. Remember that show? Man, no man alive. I'm dating myself. I've become that guy that now talks about things from my childhood that no one else even remembers. Oh my goodness. I didn't think it'd happen at 40. Praise the Lord. All right? And so these are the facts of married life. This is not God trying to be negative about marriage. He is just simply giving us the facts. Now, the word distraction there, we think of it as, you know, maybe, you know, bad things happening or, you know, something came up and, you know, a busy life or whatever. Okay, the word distraction there, it's actually the Greek word. It means to be alone. It means to be living in solitude, okay? That word distraction there, it could also be the word disruption. Disruptions in life. All right? And I think when you're talking about marriage and home and family, it could mean eruptions. Disruptions and eruptions. And see, we got to make sure that disruptions don't become eruptions. All right? But let's first talk about these verses. Why does it say an unmarried man, he can just please the Lord? But a married man, he got to please the wife. An unmarried woman can just please the Lord. But a married woman, she just got to please her husband. It almost sounds to be negative. No, it's not that God's putting down married life. Nor is he saying that you shouldn't get married. But it's talking about a fact of married life. Are you ready for the fact? The fact of married life is this. You will have distractions and disruptions when you're married and with children. That was another TV show, but I wasn't allowed to watch that one. I never saw it. I heard it was dirty, so I'm not in any way, I'm not here to promote any kind of TV. You understand that? All right? And so if you're going to live a married life, all right, now this might make a lot of sense to you now. With married life comes distractions and disruptions because it's not just you anymore. Here's what God is telling all the single people or people that have never been married. You don't get it. You don't know what you don't know if you've never been married. Now, that is not God putting you down. But he's saying, when you are unmarried, you have all the time in the world. You can think about God. You know, I'm not saying you don't have a busy job or something like that, but when you don't have other people to put in front of yourself, it's very easy It's very easy to, it's easier to put God first in your life. But when you're married with kids, there's people there that take up your time. And for good reason. I don't say that negatively. But it requires your attention. All right? Meaning your attention. You're not alone anymore. You're not solitude anymore. All right? When you're married, you got someone to put first. When you have kids to tend to. All right? So if you've ever felt spiritually distracted or disrupted as a married person, and we have a lot of young families with young children, or maybe you're married and you're looking back at having kids in the house, if you ever felt like it was very, there's a lot of things going on that, you know, tried to take your time from prayer, time from church, time from this and that, right? Listen, that's scriptural. The Bible warned us. He was trying to tell us from day one, you know. Now, of course, Paul isn't talking negatively about marriage. Of course, God wants solid marriages and families and things, but he's just telling you the facts. Though with marriage and with raising kids, there will come distraction. All right. There will things that means that there's circumstances that will arise. You understand? There are circumstances that will arise with a married couple with kids that will not arise with a single person. All right? Man, I remember one of the things that annoyed me the most when I was single and or before Katie and I had kids, everyone would tell us, you just don't know yet. You just don't know yet. And I'd always be like, I'd take offense. Well, I know the word and I know what the Bible says. And so, yeah, you can know what the Bible says inside and out. But when you get married and when you have kids and there are circumstances that your mind could not conceive before, all right, all of a sudden, you're just going to put that Bible knowledge to the test. Okay? And so if you're feeling like, oh my goodness, there's times when I just, you know, I feel like I don't do anything good for God. There's times I just feel like my life and, you know, and I'm taking care of these kids. I'm doing all this stuff and I'm doing everything I can. And I just feel like a failure because I've been so disrupted or I've been so distracted with God. The Bible says God already knows that. All right. And so the good news is he's not mad about it. He's not excusing it. But he understands that there is a marriage, a spouse, children to take care of. You have to know and understand that that stuff will happen. So the key isn't to, now here we go. This is right here at the ending here. This will be a great place to pick up next week. It's not about preventing all distractions. You can't. You will not prevent all the circumstances that come up with kids. You will not. The circumstances, and the list is endless. The list is endless of stuff. I can't even start throwing out examples because we never do it justice of all the things that come up with raising kids. All right? You parents, you know. And there's no way. It's not about preventing the disruptions. It's what you do with them. What are you doing to lessen or to eliminate as many of those disruptions as possible? Here's the answer. Are you ready? The more orderly you are, the more organized you are. See, this is why being quiet, peaceable, godly, and honest in your home. See, when you're living in the peace of God, when we shared those scriptures in Proverbs 24 about the guy with the house that was falling apart, all right, the reason why we share, if you get your stuff in order, all right, it will make those disruptions and distractions a lot easier to handle. Married, home, or single, listen, this is just true for a single person. You know, single people, you know, you can just think you can live any old way you want because you're alone. Well, there's some truth to that. But listen, that doesn't give you the license to be dirty. It doesn't give you the license to be disorderly. All right? And so if, you know, you're not going to prevent all disruptions and distractions in life, but it's how you respond to them that will determine, all right, What do you do to lessen them? See, when you have an organized home, those disruptions will be felt a lot less. When you have a solid, godly agreement marriage, those distractions will be a lot less. Amen. But if you're a chaotic person, one disruption is going to come in and throw the whole thing off. Well, if you're out of order, it's going to throw one thing off. Come on now. It's like driving in your car with that Tim Hortons cup of coffee and they filled it to the brim. Have you ever had them do that to you? And as soon as you pull that little tab and you put it back, you're like, oh my, oh my. And you're driving and you're like, oh, try to get around that, you know, the you know, and one little bump, blah, and now you have a burnt, scalding hand because that boiling coffee is now on you. Why? Because it was so full. One little bump, one little disruption. In the same way, so many people, their lives are so full of chaos and drama that one little bump in the road shows up and it burns them. You got to be, I'll tell you what, and this is what the goal of this series is to absolutely get you to a place where those disruptions and circumstances affect you less. All right? And I'm going to give you the answer to it. I've already said it. It's order. Order. And when I say order, I mean organization. The more organized you are, the more you can handle in this life. All right? The more organized you are, the more prosperity you can handle. All right? Do you know why even people who don't know God, why they prosper financially in this life? Because they're highly organized. They're highly organized. God thought of that well before they did. But they have a streamlined process. They're extremely organized. Believe me, think about Amazon. Think about companies like Walmart, you know, back in their history. You know, listen, whether you like those companies or not, listen, I'm not here to promote them or whatever. Of course, I have to say I like Amazon Prime. That's always nice. When it shows, you know, you hit the button and a day later it's on your doorstep. That's always pretty cool. But I mean, they streamlined it. They got in such order. They got so organized. All right. Well, that's just a principle that comes out of God's word. The more organized you are, the more in order you are. You know, if you'll sit down with your spouse and you'll work these things out, if you'll get a plan, all right, God can use you in a greater way. Why? Because it'll produce more quiet. You won't be fighting as much anymore, all right, because you're in agreement. You're not, you know, fighting, you know, for your own ambition in there. There'll be peaceableness, order, cleanliness will draw the peace of God, right? That's godliness, honesty. You're not living a secret life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so now, you know, we've just kind of, you know, touched on these things. Next week, there's a whole, I mean, I studied so much stuff. I didn't even get to half of it. I'm excited because next week we're going to, Lord willing, we're going to talk about what causes these disruptions in the home. What causes them? Oh, let's talk about a few of them now, shall we? Just a few. I know it's only a couple minutes after 8. Just a few. It'll be a little, you know, just kind of whet your appetite for next week, all right? What causes these disruptions in the home? Lack of agreement. Selfishness. Natural circumstances. There's just things that come up that just try to stir up trouble. They're just natural things in life. All right, we're going to talk about these things. Bad relationships. Oh, I wrote down in my notes, you want a relationship so bad, the devil will be sure to send someone your way. You want a relationship so bad, the devil's going to provide you with somebody. Oh, and so we'll talk about more of those things next week. You better be careful, you know, to not let disruptions. You better be prepared to have things in order in your home so the circumstances in this life. And listen, if you're feeling, as a young parent, you know, you're feeling like, oh, there's this, these disruptions and distractions, and you feel like a failure, God told you ahead of time in His Word. He said He sees that. Listen, there's times in my life I've felt like that. You know, there's times it's like, oh my goodness, I'm trying to be the best pastor I can be. I'm trying to be the best dad I can be. I'm trying to be the best whatever. I'm trying to be the best businessman for the church. I'm trying to be, you know, the best counselor I can be for people. You know, you just try to be all things to all people. Well, sometimes, you know, you live like that, it's just a matter of time before you feel a feeling of failure. But we're not our feelings. And God told, you know, this is something I wasn't planning on sharing. It was actually years ago, you know, when I was talking to the Lord specifically about these kinds of things. I just felt like, Lord, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I feel, you know, and everything, it can even look like it's going great, you know, but you still deal with feelings of failure. And those verses in 1 Corinthians 7 that we read tonight is exactly what started playing in my spirit. And I hadn't spent much time in those verses. And all of a sudden I started hearing the voice of God, you know, talking about distraction and so on. And I went and studied, you know, those verses. And, of course, the Lord understands. He knows when you are a parent. He knows that you have those things to take care of. He's not blaming you for being married. All right? All right? He knows those things come up, but it's how you handle them. Amen? Did you get some help here tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just take a moment and pray. We're going to get ready to give here tonight. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. We glorify you. Father, you are so faithful. Father, you are so good. And Father, we worship you. Let's just lift our hands and give the Lord the praise. Father, we glorify you. Father, we thank you for grace season with Saul. Lord, your word tells us over there in Colossians chapter 4 that we should know how to answer every man or how to speak to everyone with grace season with Saul. Father, we know we got some salt here tonight. We got some things that can seem bitter. But Father, if we will do these things, if we'll take them to heart and not be offended, Lord, we know it'll bless our lives. So Father, we praise you. We glorify you. Father, I thank you. This room is filled with people that want to have a quiet home, a peaceable home, godly home, and an honest home. Father, I thank you for it. And Father, we thank you that in the weeks to come, we're going to get some things in order. And so, Father, we praise you. And Father, I thank you. Your blessing is upon these people. So, Father, we just worship you here tonight. Thank you, Lord. You are good. Father, you correct us because you love us. And Lord, we are not offended. Lord, your word says over there in Psalm 119, great peace have they that love your word, and nothing shall offend them. So, Father, we praise you. And Lord, as we give to you tonight, Father, we say, every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Father, we love to give to you because you love to give to us. Father, you gave us first and foremost your Son, Jesus Christ. And through him, you've given us all good things. And Lord, we just praise you and worship you tonight. Lord, we're nothing without your word. We're nothing apart from you. Lord, you're the vine, we're the branches. If we abide in you and you in us, we bring forth much fruit. But apart from you, we can do nothing. So Lord, we love you, we praise you. And Father, we give tonight with joy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, are you excited for next Wednesday? Listen, folks, nothing is said to try to hurt you. It's all said to help you. It'll bring order to your life. It'll be a blessing. And listen, every single one of us, at some time, we got something that we got to change in our home life or whatever. And so it's just a little house cleaning time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just thank him. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Father, we command your blessing upon each one here tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.